Hi, I'm Christian McBride, guest host today on Piano Jazz. With me is Ted Nash. He is a virtuoso saxophonist and clarinetist and a member of the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra. He's brought along a few tunes inspired by some of the great visual artists, including Monet, Van Gogh, and Picasso. Ted, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Good to be here.
Ted, I've been digging you from the distance for quite some time, and it amazes me. This is our first time ever really getting to sit down and talk.
And hang out, I know.
And make music. How exciting is that?
I'm very excited. Definitely.
This project of yours, tell me a little bit about it. It sounds incredible. Portrait in Seven Shades.
Yeah, it was several years ago, actually. Wynton Marsalis, who's the artistic director of Jazz and Lincoln Center, came up to me. We were on tour. We were in Mexico, I think. And he said, hey, man, you know, we want to do a feature piece of yours, something, a long-form piece that we want to commission, something that we could play in a couple of years at one of our concert series. And I said, well, cool, man. Yeah, I'm down. And he said, but think about some kind of theme, you know, something that's right. Going to be, you know, not only just something that we can, like a theme that we can deal with, but also something that would inspire you. So it didn't take me long. I think I spent a couple of days just thinking about different things. And I just came up with the idea of artists. I've always loved fine art and great artists and paintings. I mean, ever since I've been, you know, in New York, I've been going to museums and checking it out. So that was really how it all started.
Yeah, and knowing your background, it runs in the family, huh? You were born in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know you and I have some similarities in that both your father and your uncle were also pros.
That's right. My father, Dick Nash, is a trombonist.
Yes.
Excellent trombonist. And my namesake uncle, Ted Nash, they were both came out of the big band era, great jazz musicians, but settled in the studios in Los Angeles, made great livings doing that. And so I grew up in an environment of not only just hearing great music, but of complete support of what
right.
I wanted to do.
Tell me about some of your earliest memories of, like, you know, did you go to sessions with them and check out the scene? And I'm sure you probably got a chance to meet a whole lot of great stars.
Yeah, we used to have parties at the house, and people would come over, like Sonny Chris would come over to the
sure.
house and play, and Andy Simpkins.
You love Andy. Good old Uncle Andy.
Oh, my God. So we had these great parties at the house since I can remember, you know, 6, 8 years old. But as I started to play, and I started the clarinet at 12, my father used to drag me down to the sessions.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Quincy Jones. It could be TV stuff like Mod Squads.
Right.
I'd sit right behind my uncle. And my uncle was so cool, too, man.
Yeah.
He would, like, you know, he was just an amazing musician, and he'd just be like, all right, you know, he's reading, you know, looking at the music and counting the bars, and then he'd come in on his just heart-wrenching, beautiful solo,
right.
you know, with the guy dying in the scene and all that. You know, how they used to project those images across the
right.
screen. I would sit
right.
there and listen to him play, and then he'd put his horn down like it was just all in the day's work, but it was so
right.
beautiful. You know?
Right. Talk about the differences in playing in a section, because it seems to be somewhat of a lost art about, you know, playing in a section, playing music for a particular function as opposed to just taking a killing solo. You know what I mean? Like guys who just go to jam sessions and play versus playing in a band at a studio for a session for a movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's certainly an art to that. And that's why those guys were masters at doing that kind of work and doing all the film score work and the TV and all of that. I mean, you know, they did come out of playing in the big bands. That was
right.
what... That's how people learn, man. That's how they cut their teeth, was out there in the big bands touring, and all you did was learn how to play with other people.
Like, right.
You got your place to play a little solo, but it seems like today, I mean, even the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra is not coming, it's not put together by a bunch of musicians who had that kind of experience.
Right.
It's like you said, as soloists, people who've been in a lot of jam sessions, maybe have their own careers as soloists,
right.
and put it together in a big band, so there's a different kind of sensibility. We all have to learn how to listen in a new way. It doesn't come from that kind of experience that we had growing up.
Yeah, I listened to the Basie Band at any point in its evolution, and you listen to these 15 guys like breathing together. Sounds like one person.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
And I thought, man, that doesn't happen quite as often or as easily as it did at that time.
Yeah, right.
But I want to play some music, man. I want to play some of your music. The first song we have lined up today comes from Portrait in Seven Shades,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to deal with the great French artist Henri Matisse, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what were your, what? How does he make you feel?
Well, first of all, one of his most iconic images at the Museum of Modern Art is one that shows these five women dancing. And they've got their hands connected, and they're just, it's like, you know, there's nothing wrong, man. It's just dance, have a good time. So it's about swing, it's about feeling good.
Yeah.
So that movement really represented that kind of feeling of just of dancing and a nice groove. And Henri Matisse, you know, it's just, he's a master of color and shapes.
Yeah.
So the piece was kind of dealing with that too, with the shapes.
Now, we have a special guest joining us today as well. He's going to play a little piano. Want to tell us who it is?
Well, he's my buddy, and he's someone I've been playing with for well over 20 years, Frank Kimbrough, who's just a great pianist.
My man. We're going to get on down with the three of us for Matisse.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've always been, that's always fascinated me about you is when I really became familiar with you was through Winton and the Lincoln Center Band. And then I remember hearing you on the radio once, I think it was your band Odeon.
Oh yeah.
And it was so vastly different from what I'd heard you do with the Lincoln Center Band. And right away I thought, this is my kind of cat. He's schizophrenic, just like me. Now, talk about, I mean, obviously you have your father and your uncle, but obviously you have some influences coming from some different places other than just the traditional jazz and big band set.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I felt like I was always very traditional, almost with blinders on for a long time when I was younger. Like, I just wanted to play bebop. I just want to play standard tunes.
Right.
You know, I started to write a little bit, but it was it wasn't until I actually had a lot to do with joining the Jazz Composers Collective, which is a group that Frank Kimbrough and I and Ben Allison, who really kind of spearheaded the whole idea of it. We put that together back over 15 years ago now. And what we would do is we would force ourselves to write new music because every year or a couple of times.
That's so important.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, you have your concert March 30th. What are you going to do?
Right.
Come up with some new stuff, you know?
Right.
Come up with not only new ways of writing music, but maybe some new orchestrations, new groups, new. So I came up with that. Man, let me put together a band of a bunch of instruments that I don't like. So I started right
and
away.
And make yourself get into
deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sort of kidding, but it really was like the accordion and the violin.
Mm.
And let me play the clarinet, you know, since that's a hard instrument to play.
Right.
And then I got tuba instead of a bass. So I kind of put together a collection of all these instruments that I didn't know much about and how to write for them and how to put them together. And then I started to listen to a lot of music. I listened to a lot of tango music for the accordion and violin. I suddenly realized that I love tango music. I love different kinds of music. And it just started to make me uncover a lot more that I didn't know about different cultures and musics around the world.
Right, right. And speaking once again of Frank Kimbrough, who... he certainly is one of the great musicians of our time as well.
Yeah, unbelievable pianist and composer.
Yes, yes. Did you start composing around the same time as you started learning how to improvise? I mean, did you kind of learn both skills simultaneously?
My first composition I wrote when I was 15, and it's called Tristemente, and then Louis Belson. I did a record with him with Blue Mitchell on trumpet.
Wow.
A year before Blue passed away, and we recorded that. So it came out on record. That was my first composition. So I've been doing it since I was kind of playing, but again, it wasn't until several years later that I started to really focus on broadening my whole way of composing.
Right. And you have another project that I heard on the radio for the first time, the Mancini Project. And talk about what Mancini means to you personally.
Well, Mancini, of course, is a great film composer that was based in Los Angeles. My father and my uncle, who we mentioned, were both mainstays in his band. I mean, they did all the recordings throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, even into the 80s. So I grew up hearing that music. And I even, you know, met Hank a couple of times, and he's been in our parties and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think the very first music that I ever heard that I really got turned on from was the Pink Panther, The Great Race, which was a real corny movie that just featured my father all the way through with a different solo. Yeah. So, you know, that's my memory of growing up with that kind of music. So Henry Mancini it's a very personal kind of tribute, as well as being an important, you know, person and composer to deal with.
I never got to meet him, but I certainly feel like I know him through Jenny, his wife, and Jack Elliott, who I'm sure you probably knew very well. Mm-hmm. You picked a song today that it should be a standard, because it's weird, because it's one of these songs that not a lot of people play, but mm-hmm. a lot of people know it, and they know it's a great song, Two for the Road.
It's a beautiful tune, and I understand it was, of all the music that he wrote, it was his favorite piece.
Yeah, and it should be. I can understand why you would think that. Why don't we play a little taste?
Let's do it.
As a prolific arranger and composer such as yourself, you mentioned film music earlier and how much that meant to you. Are there any particular films, like, does it happen with you sometimes where you can't actually concentrate on the film because you're listening to the music too much? Like, what particular films have, and its music, touched you deeply?
Well, it's funny, because when you listen to a good film score, you shouldn't be that much paying attention to it.
Right.
It should actually be supporting
it.
So some people will overwrite, and just this, because they have such great orchestrational chops, you know, they'll put everything they know into the orchestration and stuff. And then I do get caught up listening to it. There's a composer named James Horner. Mm. Now, my best friend in high school is a guy named Randy Kerber, and he is not that well known as a household name. He's a studio pianist, and he became the chief orchestrator for all of James Horner's films for a period of time. And he did, if you ever saw the movie Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
Well, that's Randy.
Oh,
I mean, he's such a brilliant, and so that's the kind of thing. It's like, when I listen to that music, there's the lushness of the orchestra. There's just a creative way of taking things and finding new instruments and different ways of expressing something that the movie, you know, ways of expressing what's going on in the movie. And I think that's what was also very fun for me when I did the Portrait in Seven Shades piece, because I was dealing with imagery, and having to think of a way to reinterpret these images, also iconic images that people are very familiar with, Picasso and all of that. So that's what I think film score composers deal with a lot, is how to interpret what they're seeing on the screen and make it I wouldn't say better, but fuller and deeper and richer experience for the people who are watching it.
That's a perfect segue into playing another song of yours from Portrait in Seven Shades. How about we play the piece that is dedicated to Monet?
That'd be great. Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.
hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.